Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Peach.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Peach.
And that's our man at the booth, Booth Man Prime.
Booth Man Prime.
And guys, we have some very exciting news, or more specifically, Justin has some exciting news.
Yep.
You got to eat at a restaurant today?
I came fresh from my usual restaurant, the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company up in Times Square.
Wow. Why would you? Why?
I grew up in the country. I have some relatives visiting, and they wanted to go there.
What?
And so I was like, they're going to see Frozen on Broadway, everyone's favorite Broadway show.
Sure, definitely not
an out-of-town tourist show. And they were like, we're going to kick off the eating with the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Why? But were you like, hey, please eat at any other place?
I didn't want to get in their
business.
That's
a Michelin star restaurant.
Shut the fuck up.
No,
there are Michelin tires hanging on the wall.
Oh, that's what I meant. Michelin tire restaurant.
But it's so crazy being in there because Forrest Gump is such an old movie, and you're inside it like, hey, remember this?
I'll tell you why. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. I went there once, maybe a decade ago, maybe longer.
It's really changed.
It was weird then.
Yeah.
Like, 10 years ago, I was like, why is there a Forrest Gump themed restaurant?
The waiters are like, do you want to do some Forrest Gump trivia? And everyone's like, what? Fuck. Even my country relatives are like, no one's seen that movie.
Yeah.
Here.
Tom Hanks was at the next table over. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It was weird. He was about to come out in character, and then he didn't.
Wow.
What comic book movie would you want to theme a restaurant around?
Oh, boy. Modern one or like old one? Like the Billy Zane Phantom or something?
Oh, that would be sick.
That's...
I mean, that would be applicable.
Name one thing inside that restaurant besides Billy Zane's millions or thousands.
Yeah, that's it. Just Billy Zane.
Great. Pete, do you want an Avengers Endgame, the restaurant?
I think Punisher restaurant would be great. Yeah, exactly.
Punisher restaurant?
Yeah.
So now what is that?
Is it picnic themed? What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up.
You're
clapping. Come on.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on. People die. People die.
No, the lunch is picnic themed, then dinner's like super fucked up. Yeah, you stick around for the whole thing.
Hey, guys, hang out for dinner. We have it in a van.
Yeah.
Oh, that's messed up. That's messed up.
Great.
Cool. I'm very excited about the show.
I just want to say a happy birthday to Aaron.
Happy birthday to Aaron. One of our amazing audience members, major Patreon supporter, all around amazing person.
Yep.
Great.
Happy birthday, Aaron.
The queen of the Slack.
Yeah. Queen of the Slack. Queen of the Slack. King of trivia. Oh, no, you guys are together. Okay, that's not going to work out. Don't worry about it. I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the show tonight. One of them is the writer of Captain Ginger and Bronze Age Boogie for Ahoy Comics. The other one is the artist and co-creator of The Wrong Earth for Ahoy Comics. And our third guest is, you might have seen her on a show called Glow on Netflix and also just heard her a little bit before from singing our theme song. Ladies and gentlemen, Stuart Moore, Jamal Igala, Kimmy Gainwood!
Yeah. Welcome! Come on!
Have a microphone!
Have a seat!
Thank you! Great job!
Hello!
So great to hear you!
What a run for Alex's money on that was.
Really?
So many things to remember.
It's amazing because I've seen you fuck up one piece of information, but you nailed that, and that was like,
thank you.
That was like
thank you.
A real
thank
Don
you.
Pardo over here.
That's it. You guys can go. Thanks for coming out. We appreciate
this
it.
This was a test.
You're welcome. I'll see you later.
Kimmy, it is so good to see you again.
Hi, guys. It's great to be back.
Thanks.
And guess what? I still... haven't read comic books.
Oh, wow.
I wrote your theme song. I've come on the show many times.
That's true.
Yeah.
Sang songs about comic books.
Yeah.
But I still don't know anything about comic books.
Yeah. Well, guess what? We haven't seen you in a couple of years now. Yeah. We're still sitting in the exact same place.
Same order. Same order. Doing the same stuff.
So nothing's changed on our end.
You're in comic books and you don't even know anything about comic books.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a Glow comic book from Boom Studios. Have you checked it out? Have you read it? Did you have likeness rights?
I read the first and second one, and then I just started looking to see if I was in the
Nice. What a fan.
Were you?
Like, oh, cool. Yeah. We were in it. The first one, not so much, and then like the third and the fourth one, me and my comedy partner, Rebecca Johnson.
Yes.
We started at this theater, the People's Improv Theater.
Apple Sisters.
The Apple Sisters, yeah. So, I've only read the parts that I'm in, so it's pretty great.
That's how Pete reads comics, too.
That's how I draw comics. Yeah.
So let's talk about Glow Season 3. Just came out on Netflix. It's awesome. It's so good. Even that Justin watched
I just finished watching it. Everyone was giving me shit for not watching all the million comic book shows. And they were like, you watch Glow. And I was like, oh, it's a good thing you're here. It really helped me out of a bind.
You're welcome, Jason. Yeah.
Have you guys watched Glow? Have you watched season 3 yet?
Oh, there better be one clap. There's
a hand going.
It's, nice. It's a comic book show. So
and to be fair, it just came out, and it's many episodes. Yeah.
It's only 5 hours of viewing material.
This is what I was saying. I was saying this to Justin before the show. He doesn't deserve a trophy for watching.
It's not a trophy? What is it? I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying that's something I did.
I said, it's just 5 hours, and you're like, I want to trophy.
And there's still no trophy here, but I gotta say, 5 hours is a long time in our lives.
Sure, I guess so.
I mean, it's like how 6 episodes of Big Bang Theory? I don't know. That's
that's not accurate.
That's how it feels. That's how it feels.
That's a weird scale to judge things by.
So, since it seems like most of you didn't check out the season, we won't get into mild spoilers here, but in the third season, the Glow Girls are all in Vegas. They have a residency there. So you guys were, I assume, in Vegas for a while filming, right?
I really thought we were going to go to Las Vegas, but we ended up in like Ontario, California, which is just way east, like on the 10, basically. But they tried to do it in Vegas, but everything's looks like 2019. It's just lasers and tits, you know? It does not look like the 1980s. So we ended up in this hotel in Ontario. And then also
downtown.
That's
how I remember the
80s. Yeah. You know what? You're right. Yeah. You're right.
That's accurate.
There was a lot of lasers.
They made a big mistake. Yeah, but it was awesome. I mean, I've performed in Vegas a ton and know what kind of a strange city it is. And then our performers are kind of going through like what my other comedy partner, Sarah Lowe, goes through, which is like grinding out a show in Vegas for years at a time. And for the Glow Girls, like wrestling every day for a year, your body starts to give out and you just get bored. And my character just drank a lot.
It is funny. You and Rebecca are mostly drinking and smoking weed. Like to the point where it's like, this is what we do here.
You know what? We're the only two moms in the cast.
Really funny.
So what do they think of us? Like, live out your dreams, Kimmy and Rebecca.
There's a great standalone episode about midway through the season where you guys are in the desert the entire time. What was it like to film that one?
That was the absolute best. It was the first time that we were there, just the girls were there, and we were having scenes just dealing with each other. It was almost kind of like a bottle episode, I guess, but out in the middle of the desert, and like our characters interacted with each other in such a profound way. It was, you know, us laughing, doing bits, and then just crying. Like everybody was like really just crying a lot at all these amazing stories. And Ellen and Jackie, who play Melrose and Jenny, brought their real life stories to that campfire scene. Like that's based on like their real lives. So it was a particularly moving episode for the cast members.
Wow.
And like we were out there, you know, every day for 6 days, and it was my favorite episode I've ever done on Glow.
Yeah,
that was great. Another big thing that happens in the season, and again, this is getting into spoilers, but you and Rebecca got split up.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
That was very hard for me.
Yeah,
that was to watch hard for me, Kimmy Gatewood. Stacey was all about it. But I missed my other half. I would be like, "Hey, does anybody want to do a bit with me?" Oh no,
solo performance.
That was. That was definitely strange. I knew it was coming. Like they're pretty good about letting us know what's coming, but I was so happy they brought the Beat Down Biddies back, and then they were just like, "And now we take it away from you, and you play a racist character."
What was that like too? Because you channeled that character so well. You Well, I haven't seen you in a while, but
Alvin, what are you doing?
No, that's very.
We haven't seen you. You're still racist.
I just think about like
we talk about that every week. We apologize after you sing the song to me. We're like, sorry about our racist.
Our racist theme song. It's amazing how many.
I mean, in wrestling, obviously, like Chavo, our coach, kind of said it best. Like, there's heroes and there's villains, much like comic books. See, I'm connecting the dots.
Good. You really did it.
But, you know, like, if you're going to play a villain, like, Rebecca and I also had to play, like, KKK members in season one. They're like, okay, if you're going to play a villain, play the worst villain that you can. So play, like, I say it in the show, Bond villain. But it was strange when they told me because they warned me about it. And I was like, okay, political climate? Okay. It was a bit nerve wracking, but then I just decided to go for it because what else are you going to do? You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know this isn't really up to you, but have you heard any inklings of Glow season 4? Do you know what's going to happen? Any ideas?
Not yet. I don't know. Netflix doesn't tell us until about a month after the show airs, which is just like your future.
It's fun to have it in the air.
But you know, hopefully we'd start filming sometime in January, and who knows? I have no idea what's going to happen. Like, we found out about Vegas when we all read the script for episode 10. So we're like, okay. And then we found out about Gina Davis being in the show when she showed up on set.
Really?
Gina Davis?
Wow. Like, who is that craft services person?
So what?
I recognize her from somewhere.
She's tall.
Yeah. And what an archer.
Like working with her? What was it like bringing her in?
She's amazing. We read this character, Sandy Devereaux, and former showgirl. We had no idea who it could be because we knew people that were auditioning for it. And then Gina Davis showed up. And obviously, like, she's like a feminist icon without trying. She's got the Gina Davis Institute and... Mm-hmm. And she's apparently a fan of the show and, like, wanted to do this one scene when she does the showgirl scene in episode 9, I think. She was like, I want to go topless. And I think her management was like, no.
Wow.
But she's in, like, a full showgirl outfit. She was down for anything. And I think she really just... I felt very legitimized as a human being after working with her. I'm like, I'm on a show with Gina Davis. Did everybody know that? I mentioned every time I drink a bottle.
It's funny in the episode because all of you guys are there watching her and you're all like, whoa! And I was like, that's real. Real reactions right there.
They love to do this. Like, the character Justine didn't know that Marc Maron's character was, she was the only one who knew that Marc Maron's character was her dad. They didn't tell any of us, the rest of us, that. Wow. And so they love to do these little
tricks.
Yeah, these tricks.
Ooh, that's how they get you.
It was really funny, that moment you had where you were passed out for most of the episode and you just woke up and were like, what did I miss? That was hysterical.
That was improvised, that line. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Also real. You were just wasted.
There's nothing better than getting a script where the scene is Stacy is passed out on the couch for the whole scene.
Using my
not
talents.
Addressed at all.
In fact, do not speak to her at all, even on set.
I need to reiterate? Furniture.
So you always have a lot of stuff going on in LA. That's where you're based. We're very lucky that you're in New York right now.
I'm so happy to be here.
But what's going on? What else is going on? What else do you want to plug?
Well, Rebecca Johnson and I did a film called Consent that will be out soon. You can see it at Holly Schwartz on Friday. I have another short film called Control, a part of, I guess, my C trilogy. Yeah.
Consent, Control.
Will you guys just email me? Oh, my God.
Cheeseburger. Do it as
a
trilogy.
We can email you.
Okay, great. All the fans out there, email me later. So I'm doing a lot of directing. I'll be directing an episode of The Babysitter's Club on Netflix next season. Boy Crazy Stacy. I'm pretty psyched about it. And that was the show run by Rachel Schuchart, who's one of the writers for Glow. So, cool. And just have some things in development.
Ooh, LA speak.
I like that thousand-yard stare you have.
In New York, we say, I'm getting a hot dog. That's just like, that's our plans. We have about as far as that.
And I play Coach Crowley in the show Atypical on Netflix, and that should be out
soon,
too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I'm a hard-nosed coach.
Nice.
Awesome. You guys see it.
Really? So turn on Netflix. You're going to see Kimmy. Stuart, let's turn over to you. You got a bunch of books coming out with Ahoy Comics, and you're working on a bunch of stuff with them behind the scenes.
Yeah.
First one I want to talk about, though, is Captain Ginger.
Captain Ginger.
Which is basically Star Trek with human-sized cats in space.
I probably shouldn't have described it to you that way before, because legally I probably shouldn't say that.
Sorry. It's like the Orville.
It's probably more like the Orville.
Yeah, actually. Really light up the Orville fan base for your comic. Yeah. I think is what got him.
Yeah, basically the premise is that the human race has died out, and aboard one starship, the cats kind of evolved and took over. So they're struggling to learn how to run everything. Like the controls aren't really built for creatures with no opposable thumbs and claws. So they have to figure all that out.
It's fun to watch them like paw at stuff.
That's the thing that I wasn't really expecting about the book. I expected it to be like hard sci-fi cats in space type thing, but they're really rolling around with each other.
Well, yeah, half of it's an excuse for a lot of cat jokes. I created it for the artist, June Brigman, who I'd worked with before, brilliant artist, best known probably for Power Pack at Marvel, which she's just done a revival book for. Yeah. So you guys know it. Cool. She and I had done another project called The 99, which was published for the Middle East.
There you go.
Wow.
Glow crossover.
Probably not.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
But there was one scene in one story that never even got published that took place at a cat sanctuary, and I just gave the barest of descriptions, and June drew cats in every corner, cats fighting, cats, and dozens of them, each with their own individual personality, and I thought, there is something here.
She's obsessed with cats. She's obsessed. How can I get in on this?
I asked her once how many she had, and she said, 7?
No!
And then she paused, and she said, indoors.
Like, wow. More. That's
she
a
She actually has 10 now. Wow. She calls herself a crazy cat lady.
I can never go to June's house. I am completely allergic to cats. I would die on the doorstep.
You probably can't even read the comic book.
Exactly.
But it's been fun. We did 4 issues last fall that are collected in a trade paperback now, and I'm working on the second series now, which will be out, I think, early next year.
Well, there's a huge cliffhanger at the end, so definitely check it out. It's getting. Can we spoil?
Sure, at this point.
Yeah, there's also human dogs.
Yeah, they learn there are dogs out there as well.
Yeah. I just thought that was so fun that, like, the dramatic hard sci-fi thing is a bunch of dogs standing up going woof 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 woof. Funny way to end it. So great book. Definitely check that out.
I laughed out loud when the captain kind of leaned over and pawed the speaker and was like, "Mittens, report," and I was just like, "Oh,
you're all in."
I'm all in at that point.
Yeah. Cat guy over here too.
Yeah, and you have another book with Ahoy as well.
Yes, Bronze Age Boogie, which is coming out now. That issue 5, I think, comes out next week of 6, and that's. It stars a barbarian teenage swordswoman who kind of gets involved in 2 different Martian invasions in 1975 and in her own time, which is 1975 BC. So there's time travel. But what it really is my sort of mashup of a whole lot of 1970s comics and exploitation movie genres. So there's a... there's a sort of a badass street warrior in it. There's a kung fu master. There are Martians. There are talking apes.
Yes.
You got to have talking apes. So it's all...
Stuart, I love the way you calmly explain all of this. Such a gentle tone where you're like...
He's in a pitch meeting right now. I'm developing this. Yeah.
There's a lot happening on this podcast at the same time.
That's gotten a really nice response. That again, runs through next month, and then there'll be a trade paperback in November. That's drawn by Alberto Ponticelli, who's a very talented artist. I met him during my brief time on staff at Marvel in 2001, and I've worked with him a few times since. He's great.
Cool. And you do some stuff behind the scenes with Ahoy as well.
Yeah, I call it ops because I think it sounds mysterious, which actually would work better if I were wearing sunglasses, leaning back in the chair. But basically I'm the organized one. So I keep the schedules. I keep in touch with the distributors. I sort of liaison to the production people and things like that. And it's interesting because most of my career I've been a writer and an editor. And this is a different part of the business for me. And I like it. And it's actually, I find it easier to shift gears between writing, which I usually do in the mornings, and doing this sort of organizational work and dealing with other parts of the business than I do to switch from writing to editing. Because the muscles are too similar. Like, it's just a little too close.
Cool.
Well, this is probably a question for both of you then, and this is transitioning Jamal over to your...
Oh, you're not talking to me?
You can weigh in with it as well.
This is a question for everyone.
Yeah, this is a question for everyone. Kimmy, Ahoy Comics, when you started it.
We live in a cool clubhouse. It looks like a ship.
We're all sailors. Yeah. So Ahoy Comics, it's incredibly hard to start a new comic book company in this atmosphere.
Right.
Ops guy coming out huge here.
I'm totally kidding.
It's easy. We got this.
But clearly Ahoy has come out strong with a bunch of new books. People have been talking about them, which is great. But What would you say Ahoy Comics is? What is the MO? What is the idea behind it? What makes it different from other companies?
Trying to make each other laugh hysterically, constantly, but just doing like really cool, fun shit. And just, I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. I mean, that's how Stuart and Tom pitched it to me, was just we want to do sci-fi and fantasy, but we want it to be funny. And it doesn't have to be like, ha-ha, laugh out loud funny. But it can be, you know, subtle. You can be sarcastic. It can be dark comedy, you know. But, I mean, that's a lot, especially with, I think, The Wrong Earth, especially. It's very much more in the dark comedy vein than anything else.
It definitely, the company feels very fun. The way the books read and all the other extra back matter and stuff. Like, that is, it really is refreshing in that way. When so many other... like new books, it's just like, oh, the same thing, then commercials, and then you're done for the with the comic.
Yeah, the back matter is an important part of it. But that's our PR guy David Hyde calls them comic book magazines because they have extra features in them, which is nice. That's just we want to give a little more bang for the buck, and also give a place for writers to break in, writing those little stories, which we actually take over the transom through the website, and we found some really nice people that way.
Oh, that's great. Awesome.
Aside from that, like we argued a lot about, you know, slogans and taglines at the beginning, and the one I liked that we didn't go with was smart, funny, good looking, which is kind of what we were trying for, because we really have been given by our publisher Hart Seeley, we've really been given all the tools we need. Like, and Tom Pyer is the editor-in-chief and the writer and creator of Wrong Earth and also High Heaven.
Right.
And hashtag Danger, which is coming out now, which is very funny. Tom and I were both editors at DC back in the early days of Vertigo. That's how we know each other.
Oh, wow.
And Tom's been a writer for so long, people forget he's a brilliant fucking editor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just very good at putting things together, putting teams together, making sure every little detail of the book works.
No, absolutely, like absolutely.
So that's been a good thing.
Well, let's talk about The Wrong Earth, because that was, I think, one of the first big book out of the gate for Ahoy Comics. For those of you who didn't pick it up, it's great. The concept, the pitch...
pitch is a happy, sunny, vigilante... swaps universes with his darker counterpart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, probably skirting licensing things you can't talk about. But it's as if the Adam West 60s Batman switched place with Ben Affleck Batman.
Basically.
And at the same time, a more extreme version of the Joker ended up in the 60s universe and vice versa.
So it's currently in development with me.
You're just optioning everything. She's got money to burn.
Start thinking you're here for the wrong reasons.
I just optioned that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. The wrong reasons? Oh, good, 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 good. I'm into it.
But this book is so much fun, so dark at the same time. Where did the idea start with? Did it start with you, Tom, talking
about it? No, it started with Tom. And actually, what happened was, you know, Stuart and I have known each other since, what, 2005, 2006?
Yeah, we did 2 years on Firestorm together at DC.
Yeah. Nice. And, you know, so, and we've stayed in touch. We live in the same area. And I was just happened to be walking into this pie place near my house, and Stuart was there.
Pie brings a lot of people. Yeah. It has for generations.
And Stuart said,
"Thieves with windows smelling pies," and they're like, "Meet the neighbors."
That's how I met my wife.
Yeah. You're a noted pie.
I am. I was just floating outside of a window on the pie smells.
That's how I got glow too. I walked into a pie place.
A lot of casting directors leave pies in the windows to attract the hungriest actors.
That's true.
That's who we have here.
And they say, no more pie after you get the part.
Yeah.
So that explains how you guys
anyway,
did the book.
Yeah, exactly.
So, back to the meat cute.
So I bump into Stuart, and he says, Tom Pyre has this project, and I was wondering if you might want to talk to him about it. And I said, sure. I'm always up to, you know, listening to pitches. And, you know, Tom is... you know, on that bucket list of people to work. I loved Hourman. I loved his Legion of Superhero stuff. Yeah. So he was, you know, on that bucket list of guys that I've always wanted to work with. So I talked to Tom, and he pitched me the idea for The Wrong Earth and the basic bones of it. And I said, wow, this sounds like a really great idea. And then over the course of a couple of months, we sort of kind of finalized what, you know, these characters were going to be. It was really funny because the way that it really, like, how we landed on Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man, who are the heroes of the story, was I was in Japan. I went to Japan on vacation, and I was there for a couple of weeks. And
bragging.
Yeah.
This better really play into the story here.
It does.
It feels like just a brag.
And I got back.
There better be a dragonfly landing on
your own. Oh, no, it's Japan, so there's dragonflies everywhere.
You know what Japan's like.
Yeah, they're really known for the dragonflies.
Well, no, very seriously, samurai used to decorate their armors with dragonflies. Dragonflies represent the warrior spirit and gracefulness and, you know, a call to action. So, you know, Tom and I are trading emails, and I'm telling him all this stuff about, you know, dragonflies in Japan. He goes, wow, that's really funny, because dragonflies in Europe are considered completely evil. They're called, like, the devil's eye sticker. You know, it's like, we've got our heroes. We've got Dragonfly and Dragonfly Man. We have our son, the Dragonfly Man and Stinger, who are very much in that sort of 60s pop vein. Fun. And then the darker, more sadistic version of Dragonfly, who is perfectly willing to torch his enemies upon meeting them and, you know, makes no bones about it.
One of the things I think is most interesting from an artistic perspective is you are designing all the characters twice. You're doing the good versions, quote-unquote good versions, and the evil versions. Was that fun to do from your perspective, or was that a chore because you're like, oh, I just came up with this
design? No, it was absolutely a blast. It works towards the designer in me, because you come up with one idea and you're kind of deconstructing it and trying to find, like, the alternate version. So, like, the villain in The Wrong Earth is called Number One, and Number One exists across a multiverse. So the Earth Alpha Number One from Dragonfly Man's Earth, which is like the much more sunnier version, is sort of a cross between Liberace and Cesar Romero and a little bit of John Astin thrown in for a good measure. And then the Earth Omega version is Gary Oldman mixed with
Jared Leto?
No, Jared Leto. Very specifically, Cabaret, the MC from Cabaret, from the Joel Grey version. Alan Cumming version from the Studio 54 run. So, you know,
hyper-specific. I'm in.
That's the theater nerd in me. So, but, you know, much more sadistic, and then trying to come up with body language for all the characters, you know, Dragonfly Man stands with his hands on his fist, and Dragonfly lurches around and skulks, and the same thing. You know, there were scenes where I was drawing the Omega version of Number One, where he's just sort of like almost like listening back and forth and just leaning everywhere, kind of like a drug addict, you know, but just sort of high off of himself, you know, more than anything else. You know, so I love being able to break characters down that way and creating different versions. And then, you know, the trade's been out for a while. There is a third version of Number One who's been introduced into the series, who is from Earth Zeta, and he is much more together than any other version. And he's actually, I sort of based him on Tim Gunn.
Interesting. Wow, you're taking in a lot of culture.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Crossing a lot of
That'll lead into book two.
Yes.
I can't wait to see the Stacey Beswick from Glow version.
Can be arranged, you know.
This side of the stage making deals, you guys. This book is great. You guys should definitely pick it up. Yeah. It's funny, as you guys were mentioning, like, there's ridiculous jokes throughout, where the one from the Adam West style Earth has things where he has what is it? It's not bullet repellent, but like he gets shot.
Oh, it's the protein pill that he takes
Pills.
It basically turns the lead into protein right. and heals his wounds.
So there's a couple of jokes like
it's
that.
It's a device of his own making, of course.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he has a, also has an anti-explosion spray that protects him.
Yeah. And the fun bit there is on the more extreme version of the Earth, he does things like that, and everybody's like, what are you talking about? It's great. It's just a fun bit throughout. But at the same time, while you have this fun bit, you still feel the danger for the characters.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
So it's great. The trade's out now?
The trade is out now.
All right, nice. Cool.
Alex, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
We heard the word back matter. Is that what is that again?
That just means additional stories in the back, additional features.
Oh, what did you think of that?
It's a
very suspicious kid. Yeah.
Kimmy, what do you think?
Just commercials? And then I heard the word back matter.
It's like a sex thing.
You know, I started
thought it was sexy.
I started in book publishing. I've heard that term for a long time, and I never thought of it that way before.
Well, we ruined
there's
comics.
There's the front matter, but then there's the back matter.
Make sure you
better take care of business.
Specifically the back matter.
Check
in
out our back matter.
And that is it for that portion of the show.
Yep, that's good.
Smooth transition. Hasn't changed in 10 years.
Should I start saying, well, we're done with that?
Alex is sort of more of a spoiled brat now. Sort of
I don't want to do the next
Okay. Let's move the show on, guys. We should move the show on. No, okay, we'll move the show on.
Some juice.
Honestly, okay. Just a little juice. Control yourself.
Do you have any juice?
I will get you juice right now. You've had so much juice. No, you've had so much juice. You've had so much juice already.
It's man juice.
You have more juice. Drink your man juice after.
Pete, you're very good. You're well behaved.
Pete, you are doing so good right now. Let me just say that. You're going to get ice cream.
All right. We're going to do a real quick stack here. First one we're going to talk about is Daredevil number 9 from Marvel Comics. Yeah. Woo. Some music. We'll pass that along over there.
Some music.
So I was curious to talk about this issue, particularly because I've been feeling a little bit of reticence on this Daredevil run. This is Chip Zdarsky has taken over Daredevil. Daredevil, Matt Murdock has given up the Daredevil identity. The kingpin of crime has decided to full-time be the mayor of New York. So he's stepped away from that. This issue, he falls back into it.
What he's doing, though, like we want all of our superheroes to do, is have a light existential crisis and discuss the nature of God.
Wait. This is Matt Murdock we're talking about. There is never a light existential crisis.
I was impressed that he did. I feel like he was like, all right, let me get Reed Richards. Let me play him in chess and then say to him, hey, do you think God exists? And then the look on Reed's face is like, why the fuck would, you know.
The thing that's crazy about that to me, though, in the Marvel universe and in comic book universes in particular, is they've met God. Like, in the case of the Fantastic Four.
Yes, it's right. They met God, and God is Jack Kirby.
Yeah. They meet God in an issue. So he could pretty definitively be like, yes, we did one time.
Well, but that's a crazy thing to say. I met him one time. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Justin. This is the Marvel Universe. If Reed Richards says he met God, you kind of believe him. This is a guy who's been to the negative zone.
Well, he sort of says, he's like, yeah, I meet a lot of celestial beings. Like, I don't know, man. And he's like, I'm just trying to play chess and go off to have lunch or whatever. Like, he's very casual about the whole encounter.
Well, the part that I wanted to ask you guys about, there's two things that happen in this issue in particular. First, Matt has befriended a woman at a bookstore who doesn't seem to be interested in him, and he's very thrown by that, so of course he proceeds to stalk her incessantly.
Oh, God.
Yeah, very responsible, not gross behavior. And he ends up at dinner with her. Turns out she is part of a large crime family, of course, and he's been brought to the dinner to antagonize her husband, which is a great position to be in. But by the end of the issue, they are in fact together, so that's one thing. And then the other thing is he very briefly puts on his mask at the end.
That's back matter worthy.
Sorry. See, it is at the end of the issue in the back.
Right, exactly.
That's where it happens.
The back?
that's just an ad.
Okay.
What is that an ad for?
I don't know.
Don't look too deep into it. That ad's
let's
really
get back into this weird sexual sexist plotline.
Well, let's talk about this. What did you guys think about this twist?
Well, I thought it was really fucked up. What's also weird is we haven't had Daredevil as Daredevil yet in this comic. And he kind of asks God for a sign. He gets a sign. He decides to kind of put back on his blindfold for a crime watch. I'm finally like, great, Daredevil's back to being Daredevil. That's very exciting. But then, just when I'm excited that Daredevil's back, he makes the horrible decision of basically going after a woman who is already in a relationship, and then...
It's called a marriage.
Sure, yeah.
Alex, yeah. Stay on target.
But it is, yeah. Yeah. Is it crime
I, you know what? I absolutely agree with you. But at the same time, like, I sort of feel like this is who he is. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He makes fucked up decisions all the time.
In a Daredevil comic, anytime a woman is introduced, he's going to try to... date her. Like, that's
not what he's doing here, Justin.
What's that?
That's not what he's doing here.
I thought he was just like the blind superhero, not like some weird stalker dude. Yeah,
exactly. Why do we highlight that part? Can't we just like push that to the side and what, all here, the little
justice, here's blind her. Justice, also stalker.
Yeah. What okay, I didn't cool. like about it is that I think it makes sense for Matt Murdock. You know, like we talked about when he was reading her, whatever you want to call it that he did, where he was like, huh, that's weird. She's not attracted to me.
Right.
I'm going to go after her anyway. That seems typical Matt Murdock in terms of putting himself in the absolute worst situations possible. But I didn't like the fact that she was into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree. It was weird. It felt like she was fitting the pattern of the comic as opposed to being a character
exactly.
in the
right,
comic.
Right.
And so that...
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Well, you know...
Okay, I'm going to be hyping a lot of our points during the show.
At the same time, like, I usually enjoy Chip's work a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm curious to see where he takes this, because he usually goes in very interesting places that you wouldn't expect. And I think there's her interaction at the end of the issue than we're automatically seeing. I feel like there's a bigger story attached to it.
Absolutely, for sure. I think it's more just reacting to the way that this turned out at the end of the issue, which definitely made me recoil a little bit, put me off a little bit. But yes, I'm sure there's more of a story to
it. The first half, though, of the talking with Reed Richards about God, I thought was really cool and interesting and different. And it feels like he's going for sort of a Will Eisner vibe with this whole arc. And like that's maybe why he's doing fucked up old-timey things.
Yeah.
with the way he's writing these
back
characters.
Matter.
next one to talk about from Image Comics, Die, number 6. If you haven't been reading this book, real good. It's about a group of folks who played a real-life D&D style game. They were sucked into the game as kids. They came out of it totally damaged. 20 years later, they're sucked back in again. And issue by issue, we're finding out more about the characters. This one, we get to find out about one of the characters' dogs. And then, spoiler, watch the dog die.
That's a bit of it. It's watching the dog
die. But I'll tell you what. Did you read the... back matter? Because Kieran Gillen talks about this was specifically inspired by his dog dying.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but it's a robot dog, first off.
Sure.
I just say you make it sound like, you want to read a fucked up book? Dog dies in this
it's
whole
like a fucking
watching the dog die.
Yeah, and then you have to read a story about his actual dog dying.
Yeah.
So you have to watch the dog die twice.
And there's photos of it. There's photos of his dog dying.
Man. Comic like, books are fucked up now.
It's like Marley and Me, but real.
No. Wow. A lot of Marley and Me fans.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen Glow, though. But Marley and Me.
There's a new one, a dog die movie coming out.
Oh, there
soon.
Is. A dog's journey?
Why are these dog dying movies are so weird to me?
There's John Wick, I think.
You think that? Right.
John Wick is a dog die movie.
John Wick was successful. Let's do one with no fighting and just the dog. Just the dog dying, no fighting. That's what people want.
Yeah, that's what they're into.
And it's also weird. It's a dog's journey is death.
Is it?
Isn't it?
There's another one with a race car driver.
The Art of Racing.
The dog teaches the guy how to drive.
It's
pretty clear.
He dies in a car crash. It's very sad.
Because he's like, you want to drive to the dog? And the dog can't drive.
Yeah. That's the real lesson.
That sounds
cool. The lesson is dogs can't drive.
I think I smell a comic book in the works.
Back to Die. What did you guys think about this issue?
I think this comic is great. This comic is very good. It has just the right amount of dog death that I want. One.
But what I do like about it is just the fact that, like, in this role-playing game, they're dealing with real-life consequences, and, you know, the characters are talking about the toll that this game has taken on their real lives. And, yeah, when you play D&D, it takes hours, you know? Like, other people get pissed that you're still playing the game, you know? Yeah. So it's like, this is a real heightened version of that.
crazy take.
The art is amazing.
Who got pissed at you, Pete?
Yeah, who's shutting down your D&D life?
No, I'm the guy going like, when is this shit over with you?
Oh, wow, you're the bully on this side. Yeah. Interesting.
I think
you're
this,
bullying this comic book.
Yeah. Stop the madness. No, but I think this is a very creative take, and the issues have been very enjoyable, and the art really is unbelievable, and the inking and the coloring.
Yeah, great book. All right, that is it for the stack. Guys,
great transition.
What?
That was the greatest transition.
Thank you very much. I'm working on it. I'm really growing up.
He's learning.
Time for my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience question.
Yes.
And for that, all you have to do is ask a question either for our amazing guests or for absolutely anybody about anything. If you have more questions about Pete's bullying D&D folks, that's great. Raise your hand, you're going to get some free comics. I saw this hand up first. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, and going off the discussion of back matter, certainly...
Yes!
This is good.
Yes!
Really speaking to the guests here.
What are some of your favorite examples in comics of times either, you know, the story expanded into the back matter or even into the ads, you know, when it went beyond just the comic story itself? Or conversely, if you don't have an example of that, a term from comics or television that you misunderstood for like a long time and thought it was something completely different.
When I was 5 years old, I had an issue of Action Comics where Superman fought someone called the Annihilator, and I really thought it was pronounced Annihilator for like 10 years. So I could not wait to find out how he beat the Annihilator.
I thought it was pronounced Adam Titanium for like 10 years until somebody corrected
it. That makes sense in a lot of ways. Yeah. The term trade paperback for a long time, I was like, what? this? I have to trade this with another person?
I got to trade this trade for paper?
Okay. I want my paperback. I want to trade my paperback. The first question about like great back matter, one of my favorite comics of all time is Starman, and James Robinson used the letters page area to do the pages from the Shades Journal for a lot of it. And then also, it was one of the first comics I read where he really created a culture in the letters page of people like talking about stuff they collected, and like people seemed really excited about contributing there. For a long time, it really kept that part of the comic really alive.
Is back matter like closing credits?
It's like...
Because I love the Incredibles closing credits.
It's sort of like closing. It's like a post-credit scene of something completely different.
Oh, okay.
And also letters from fans.
Okay.
Or like a short feature that somebody accidentally put at the end of the movie instead of in the beginning. That's kind of weird.
It's like when the movie ends and see your friends like hey, that was good, but do you know about this other thing I'm interested in?
Don't leave yet.
Don't leave yet. I want to talk to you for 4 more minutes about something completely different. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know what a best boy was forever. That girls could be best boys. You know what a best boy is?
Wait, what is a best boy?
I don't know. Tell me. No. Best boy is part of the electrical crew.
Yeah, basically, don't they just like tape things down pretty much?
A lot. Don't
say that to the best boy.
It's our safety. Lot of gaffer's tape.
Why is it a best boy, though? I feel like there's better boys on set. Right?
I don't know where the term came from, but I always thought it was very charming.
It's like a gradation above, like it's like, oh, you're the one that is specifically we can trust to do this one.
It's like who's available on Thursday for $100?
Right, there's key grips, best
grips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Grips.
Pete, do you have an answer for...
Well, I was calling Darkseid Darkseed for a while.
That's definitely wrong.
Yeah. And I never was a big fan of the back matter, just because you guys know this, I don't like reading. I like comic books because it takes pictures and less words.
I will say sometimes on that tip, like you read a comic that's so many pictures and you get to the back matter, it's just words. It's like, oof, I got to climb this bigger mountain.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I already did this work. Yeah. Now I got to do this reading shit.
I will tell you, and I feel bad about this, but Criminal is like that for me, where this is Sean Phillips and Ed Brubaker's anthology book about crime stories. And it's so dense, and there's so much character stuff going on. Anyway, I read the book, and then you get to the end, and somebody's like, here's an essay about crime stories. And I'm like, nah, I'm out. I'm good.
Wow. Honestly, one of the reasons there are so many prose stories in the back of the Ahoy book, and this is getting into some deep comics history, but it was Tom Pyre's idea, because he said back in the 50s and 60s, sometimes comics would have these little short stories in the back. And the reason was because in order to qualify for second-class mailing permits, they had to be legitimate magazines, which means they couldn't be just full of stupid pictures all the time. You know? So these things were always terrible, and they were always written by the assistant editor like an hour before the book had to go to press. Like, they were just awful. And there'd be detective stories or little standalone science fiction stories. And we just got thinking, what if they were actually any good, you know? And that's how the idea sort of came into Ahoy Comics.
What if we did it but good? That's a good impulse.
That's very cool. Great question. Oh, this hand just shot up right over here. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Ron, and Ms. Gatewood, you're coaching.
You can call me Kimmy, honey.
Ms. Gatewood.
Kimmy, your co-star, Betty Gilpin, recently did a film called The Hunt, which I know is being shelved due to the subject matter.
It is? It's getting shelved?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it just came out. I think maybe today or yesterday, they're fully not going to release it at all, which is bad for her.
I mean, oh, my God.
All of you work in the entertainment industry find that difficult sometimes to avoid offending certain people. Do you feel that we should push the envelope more now than ever?
May I?
Oh, yes, Kimmy, sure. Miss Gatewood.
No, go.
Please.
We have time for everyone to have.
Okay. Everybody can be Miss Gatewood today. Everybody.
When I first met you, I put you in my phone as Kim Skateboard. I don't know.
It's still my favorite nickname ever.
I don't know what autocorrect.
Go ahead. I'll chime in after you.
Okay. I've had, over the course of my career, I have had many, Stuart and I had a period when we were working on Firestorm where when DC Comics had their old message boards, things got so racist that they had, because we had introduced a black replacement for the original character.
Oh, my God.
And then, you know, like halfway through, like they had basically... What had happened, just to catch up, there was a series called Identity Crisis that DC published where they revealed the fate of the original Firestorm after we had introduced this new character without telling anybody what had happened to the original. And the original had been killed very quickly, swiftly, you know, rather unceremoniously. So someone started a thread on the DC message board called Ditch the Black Dude.
Wow.
And it turned into just this litany of just, it went on for weeks, just thousands and thousands of posts. You know, I think at one point somebody had like linked it to like stormfront.org or something. Ugh. And it got so bad they actually had to shut down the message board and reopen it like weeks later under heavy moderation. So, and then I've had to deal with it on other projects, too. When I was on Supergirl, I did an interview with Newsarama at the time, because one of the changes that I had made to the character was I had put shorts on underneath her skirt because of a conversation I had with the then-editor, Matt Idelson, where he basically said, I never want to see Supergirl's panties again. Because the artist who had been on the book previously had
liked that the outfit
kept getting tinier and tinier and tinier. So I went in the opposite direction and, you know, not completely clothed, because
I
you
wear
can't,
shorts under my skirts.
Yes,
yeah.
And so did, you know, so did my nieces, and you know, and but it became this thing where we were accused of being anti-man, and you know,
wow, that's a crazy. You know,
you know, we were trying to take away her sexiness, and I, you know, kept trying to say,
this "I is came here for panties."
Yeah, no, that's exactly.
There, it got, no story. Kimmy, I came here for panties,
Kimmy, it got. Not so bad that a guy, there was this one guy who posted on every single comic book related message board. He went by the screen name Larry Gardner. He was so pissed off.
That sounds like a real name.
He was so pissed off that he started a super disgruntled Supergirl fan page. It's still online. All these wow. years later.
Wow. Where, because of shorts?
Because of shorts. Because we had taken the sexiness away from Supergirl,
yikes.
A 16-year-old superhero character.
Yikes.
So you're going to piss off somebody. It doesn't matter what you do. You're going to piss somebody. Somebody's going to, especially in the politically charged atmosphere that we are living in right now. So my guiding star has always been, you know, to thine own self be true. You got to satisfy your own creative impulses before you can please anybody else's. So you can't worry about what anybody else is going to say, because then if you're always policing yourself, you're not putting out the best product that you can possibly put out. So
I think that artist with the panties felt the same way.
I mean, yes, to just jump on that. I mean, I think that art and artists are outcasts usually and are like want to, they have different points of view. Whether we agree or not, I think it's important to be producing art. And the fact that, you know, like there was a show, the reboot of Heathers, when that came out. There was one episode where they were doing a like a mass shooting drill, and that episode was too heavy for TV Land or Paramount Network, and they pulled the whole series. And I saw the episode and I was like, this is satire, clearly, but you know, headlines often beat art, and it's very disappointing when money kind of takes away these points of view. I'm very sad to hear about that about Betty's movie. But I truly think that art is meant to incite, whether I agree with it or not. I mean, I saw Oklahoma and I was pissed off at the end. So I'm still talking about it, though. And I think as long as we're still talking and being civil, I think it's okay to incite. It's just when mean words and bullying come out.
Yeah, I think the intention is huge there. You want
to
go ahead?
Well, I just wanted to say, I do think there's something going on in the entertainment industry in general, which is we've had such consolidation of ownership of the major companies by a few corporations, and they are naturally going to be a bit cautious. And the fewer of them there are, the more cautious they're going to be, which isn't a really good thing. It does open up spaces for like small upstarts like Ahoy Comics to come up, and and we did pick up a book called Second Coming, which some of you may have heard of. Second issue's out tomorrow, which is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, moving in as roommates with a superhero who is emphatically not Superman. Okay, even though
aggressively not Superman.
Thank you for claiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That's good.
Comma, Son of God.
There are multiple.
Not Son of like
multiple.
Jared.
But basically, DC dropped the book, and it was when their new management was coming in, when the Time Warner merger with AT&T, and it just became too hot for them. The book itself is not at all. I would say it's not at all mean-spirited. It's not even. I keep saying I think superhero fans are going to be more pissed off by it than fundamentalist Christians.
I think in terms of what you know the company is doing, I think High Heaven is probably more blasphemous than Second Coming.
That's
is.
True.
Well, just to jump in really quickly, because we reviewed it on our show here, and one of the things that I was so surprised and struck by Second Coming is, it's actually very reverent of religion. Like, it explores what religion means.
It's from a knowledgeable point
exactly.
of view. It's not just
it's very thoughtful. And Mark Russell grew up in an evangelist household. He's talked about that, you know. And he doesn't he doesn't follow that lifestyle now. But he's familiar with it, and he's very, very interested in the core subject matter and the what the message of Jesus Christ is, as opposed to what it's presented as in modern society.
Right.
Maybe people would read Pete instead of just looking at pictures.
Wow, here we go.
If they would just read.
Let's get back to Pete.
Your fault.
Pete, you have to read your fault. There's an article in Variety today about how Disney is really uncomfortable with Deadpool. And they're like...
Interesting.
They're
that
like,
does
oh,
not surprise me.
We don't know. They're like, the article is saying like they don't know what to do with it because they want to integrate. Their cutoff is PG-13. Disney Plus, their new over-the-top streaming thing, is going to be very, it's all PG-13. So they're stressed and it will probably affect the
but
content.
But it makes a lot of money.
It makes like, a lot of money. The and they have made the calculation that like we want, there's more money to make if it's a family thing as opposed to doing something that the artist wants to do. But on the tip of The Hunt, real quick, that is a movie about hunting people, and so they were like, oh, we can't do that because there was just a mass shooting. There's been so many mass shootings, it's crazy. They're like, oh, we can't
that's
do that.
That's what stopped Heathers like a year and a half ago.
And I think one of the big things about our culture right now is like, oh, we can't talk about that, but that means we're going to keep living in this cycle of it's happening over and over and over again, and having stuff where it's like, oh, I'm offended by that, makes me you think about it more and actually deal with it, as opposed to you can't touch the hot stove, and then it just keeps happening over and over and again. So I do think like running away from stuff like that is dangerous. It's actually dangerous for our culture.
But The Hunt is produced by the same people who gave us Get Out and The Purge.
Right.
If you couldn't hear that on the podcast, he was saying that The Hunt is produced by the people who produce Get Out and The Purge. We haven't seen the movie. We haven't read the movie or anything like that. I agree with Justin, though. It's they've made the movie. I hesitate to say what's the worst case scenario, but if you think about it, like if the movie's bad, it comes out, people are like, oh, it's bad, and they move on. If it's really good, it makes them think and talk about things. To Kimmy's point earlier, it doesn't necessarily drive people to do the things that they think they're going
to do. It's not like
drive.
It's a pro mass shooting movie.
Right.
Like, but it's crazy to me where it's like, we have to regulate this movie that it probably is having some sort of take on it where it's like, this is fucked up. It's like a satire, some kind of thing.
Well, I think also the point is with anything, you're not being forced to go and see this.
You can do whatever
it's not mandatory. You have a choice.
I mean, if you're going to talk about violence, it's not like people go see Hobbs and Shaw and they're like, well, time to take some cars, throw them off a cliff. That's my life now. I'm going to swing from this helicopter because I saw a movie. People aren't driven in that way to do that sort of thing.
Well, I agree with that, but that is not the position of a lot of people in the administration who blamed video games immediately for last week.
Well, there are a bunch of
I am
going to
kill my dog, though.
Exactly.
Oh, that's true.
Can we all kill your dog?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Alex made us do that.
Sorry, everybody.
Thank you for the question, though.
Yeah, very good. You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Pablo, sir.
Nice.
Hey, Pablo. Hello.
Sir.
That's good. A lot of respect on this stage right now. Miss Gatewood, sir.
Miss Gatewood. Hello, Miss Gatewood. How you doing?
For the podcast listeners, Alex said, call me Miss Gatewood.
All right, two things to address pretty quickly. First off, that logo is cool.
Oh, well, thank you.
We have a new logo.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Very Kirby Crackle.
Yeah, that's right on.
Yeah.
It's designed by Stephen Lawrence, who you can check out online.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
We still got him in the pocket. All
these years, he's just designing logo after logo. He finally approved one. It's been 10 years since he went over the plate.
10 years? Wow. Okay. Number two. I love your you guys are stuff, man. You guys are great, especially on Wrong Earth.
Thanks, man.
Very quickly, you guys spoke about themed restaurants early in the show, so I'm wondering.
This is just as controversial as what we just talked about.
You can say that.
Yeah. Well, let's see what the question is. It might be.
That's true. What is your favorite character, and what?
I distracted you.
Yes, you did. Your favorite character, and would you ever see that character having a theme restaurant?
Nice.
I love this question. Yes, it's very charming.
I would love to see The Hunt themed restaurant.
It's good. Well, you know, that's how it used to be for all of us. Every restaurant was The Hunt.
Yes.
That's very earlier profound. In our...
Do you guys have a favorite character? I guess we could probably open it up to like favorite TV show or favorite movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, cool. That you would like to see as a theme restaurant that isn't already, so Forrest Gump is already taken.
Yeah, no Forrest Gump is out.
I guess some ideas.
Technically, I mean, the restaurant's Bubba, and then Forrest Gump is just heavily featured.
It's very confusing. So,
yeah.
But the shrimp is good.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But sure.
You know what? I would love to see, you know, maybe Swamp Thing, like David Lee, like definitely Cajun, you know, a lot of gator.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Fans. Probably vegetarian.
Probably be vegetarian though. Yeah. I was thinking in comics, one of my favorite characters is Howard the Duck, but I can't imagine him running any restaurant I'd want to go to.
That's a good restaurant.
Don't order the duck.
So we'll say Lena Lamont from Singing in the Rain. You know, so it's just it's raining the whole time.
A weather feature.
Yeah, a weather feature.
They kind of classed it up there,
Kimmy,
too.
If they opened a glow-themed restaurant, what would they serve?
Oh, glow-themed restaurant. Oh, my God.
Coke.
It would be like
cocaine
sandwiches. And knuckle sandwiches and pop rocks.
Great. I'm eating there.
Yeah, wine coolers for the period.
Yeah. Oh, baby. Bartles and James.
All your 80s favorites.
Oh, wow.
Wine coolers. What if that's so funny? Man.
I really brought
it. We ate a lot of like Cheetos and Dorito type thing, like snacks on
Totino's
set.
Totino's pizza roll.
Yes.
Yeah. It was fun to see the old Doritos bags and the old like Mountain Dew stuff.
Yes.
It was fun to see the
old bags. We actually eat, like they'll put the actual snacks in the bags. And so I'll open them up and be like, whoo, cheese.
Did you get upset because they were nacho cheesy or not nacho cheese?
Oh. They were just plain nacho
too much cheese.
Important distinction for the chip heads out there.
Yeah. The chip heads.
A lot of nerds. A lot of nerds candy.
Do you guys have an answer?
Oh, yes. A
Starman themed, again.
Starman themed restaurant.
Oh, boy. This is, I mean, 10 years you've liked Starman.
It's just a coincidence. Time. I don't talk about it every
day. No, he does. Yeah.
Everything is served on
same go to's. Yeah.
Everything's served on a cosmic.
Punisher. 10 years.
Thank you.
Be with like a Punisher restaurant where they shoot the food directly into your mouth.
I like that.
I mean, that wouldn't be nice.
It would be nice.
Yeah, they shoot the food in your mouth. You don't have to worry about it.
You don't have to worry.
No,
about
Alex
it.
Is talking about shooting.
You exclusively have to worry about it. If they're shooting it in your mouth,
yeah, it'd be great.
You, what a marksman.
It's like a t-shirt gun, except with nachos.
Yeah, exactly. What's not to love about that? Just open your mouth and food gets shot in there.
I do not live the same life. What are you, your hands are tired?
Yeah.
I like to know when the food's coming into my mouth, so I can chew and not
sashimi!
I'll have the steak. No, I'll have the...
You prefer to control the velocity of the
food. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't order the foot long.
Yeah. Do you have another?
I would, after my favorite 80s cartoon, I would say Gummy Bears, where everything is
tired.
Honestly,
I thought you were going to say Snorks, and I thought you wanted to eat a snork.
Yeah.
Do you want to eat a snork?
I don't know. Maybe they're delicious.
That's
right. Do you do it top snout first? Or what?
No!
I think they cut.
We'll leave that for the back matter. It's fine. Great question, Pablo. I think we are out of time, unless anybody has one more question.
One more question.
One more quick question.
For one.
No,
more.
Nobody. Okay.
Wait, can I ask a question? Yeah. What's up with your socks, bro? Pete.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Pete, talk into the microphone for our audio podcast.
We have, these socks are made for us. They feature our heads.
Oh, wait, are they all of your individual heads? Or are they just, cute?
Look at that.
And of course,
Justin.
Don't worry, I remember to wear them too.
So
oops, no, I didn't.
Well, I'm so pale. Well, it's because it's on a yellow sock. I look better.
That's just his skin.
I look better
those
on the green.
Those are so. Would you have red ones? What's going on? Those are Apple Sisters.
No, yeah, Alex, show us yours.
Yeah, which color did you get?
This is my face. It's wearing a Spider-Man mask. I'm sorry.
Spider-Man.
Wow.
Those are cute.
Taking care of the kids today. I didn't have time to put on socks.
So you wore your adult Spider-Man socks? Like, I'll show you how to get dressed, son. Put on your Spider-Man socks and go to work.
This is how you earn a living. You look professional.
That's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
We're now going to turn it to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we turn it over to my good friend, Pete LePage.
Pete LePage, the star of trivia. Kimmy, since you've been gone, Pete has become the star of trivia.
Oh, my God. That,
before, this is what I've heard. I mean, he put a pull on murder mystery That's without right. murder. it was just a mystery, actually.
Well, there probably was a murder. We just don't know about it.
What you'll find, I don't want to ruin too much, but it's not just one trivia quiz.
Yeah, there's multiple trivia
quizzes. The part we get
I don't
back.
Understand. Okay, yes. I'll be quiet.
This is part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Yes, oh, you casual right. first hand up guy. Come on up here.
Glow fan, right. rooting for him.
All right, here we go. Remind us of your name again.
Ron.
Ron, audience, Ron. Ron, I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Today's trivia is on topical comic news.
You do say that every week now. Cool. I think we just know now.
Okay, great.
you know what? I'll save it for...
It's Ron's first time here, all right?
I'll save it for our notes session we do after.
Okay,
show,
great.
Where we give each other notes about the performance.
Yeah, when we do that.
Yeah, well, we always do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a lot of notes for you today.
It's a lot of back matter. Is this back matter?
It's sort of back matter. Back matter.
Okay,
oh,
right.
Yeah, we also strip down and fuck each other.
No. I knew it!
Hey, this is a family
show. Oh, that offended everyone. Yeah.
That's too far. Yeah. But that's the kind of edge we have to pursue. That's important for the culture.
Okay, I'm sorry you have to be
too
here
edgy for Tylenol. Yeah.
The Avengers comic will be going on an epic space adventure in November. What is the name of that arc? Is it A, Starbrand Reborn, B, Space is Crazy, or is it C, Christopher Guest? So it's either A or it's B.
It's A.
A is correct.
Very good.
Space is crazy. I love it.
All right, question number two. The Flash number 76 is finally going to have, is it A, the Flash running backwards, B, the death of the Speed Force, or C, Tisha Campbell Martin? So... It's either A or it's B.
I'm
B is correct. Yay! The death of the Speed Force.
Glow fans are really smart, Pete. We knew this, right?
Okay, I love the idea that the fans are waiting for the Flash to run backwards. Yeah. It's like, we've seen him go forward so many times.
So many times.
Let's see him go backwards.
What
it's harder. It's harder.
What happens
it's
if
very hard to run backwards.
It's currently in development.
All right, here we go. Last one. Who just... re-signed with DC Comics and is teaming up with Scott Snyder for the biggest adventure yet? Is it A, Greg Capullo, B, Jock, or is it C, Bill Murray? So it's either A, if you would like $25. Yes, there you go, sir.
Yay.
$25 free. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, oh, wow.
All right, guys. Now, I mentioned there's perhaps a second trivia quiz going on there. As we all know, if there's one name who is synonymous with comic books, it's John Candy. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the third answers of Pete's quiz always seemingly tied to a John Candy movie.
That's right.
How many movies do you have left at this point, Pete?
I'm not telling you.
Okay. So it's like two. You're not
I would say it's to call them John Candy movies is a bit of a stretch.
Sure.
It's a John Candy if he ghosted past the studio.
No, he's got to be in it.
But he doesn't have to be doing it.
Are you looking
much at
the IMDb page, or what are you doing here?
I'm not fucking telling you.
Oh, so it's the IMDb page.
No, he's consulting the fucking ghost of John Candy. What do you think he's doing?
We play Ouija every night, and then,
You get John, you're like, you conjure John Candy
every
night?
Right.
Does
John
he,
Candy.
Like, give me a fucking break, dude?
No, he's like, thank you for repping my shit.
Oh, cool.
I don't think that's what he was saying. Your three answers.
So, Christopher Guest.
Sure.
Tisha Campbell Martin.
Great. I like that you need to scroll. You don't even remember.
And Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
It's reading.
Yeah, it's reading.
But they're all pictures.
What? No, it's reading is what we're talking about.
Oh, reading.
That's
right.
Not the name of the movie.
Kevin gets first crack. What is it, Kevin?
I love that you did Little Shop of Horrors without going to any of the main cast.
That's right.
Oh, that is
wow.
Very good. does. He is our quiz master, and he makes
heck?
It difficult.
Yeah.
There you go.
Make Kevin
it
go.
Is a also reading the IMDb page savant. Tisha Campbell?
Tisha Campbell.
All right,
clear giveaway.
Wow. Well, good job. Nice. Kevin, you win nothing. All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm actually looking forward to Black Hammer Justice League number 2.
Ooh, any particular reason why?
There was a big twist in the last issue. I'm very excited to see where it goes.
Great. So this is two super teams, Justice League, you guys all know them. Black Hammer is almost a non-super team. They're a Justice League-esque team who's been trapped in a farm for decades and unable to escape. Most of the comic book is very existential in a way as they ponder their own lives and existence and careers, and they've switched places. So to Pete's point, it should be very interesting to see what happens next. A non-super team and a super team world, vice versa. Do you know anything about that?
I do, actually.
Interesting.
I picked up the first issue. It was really
there
big.
You go. Yeah. All right, cool. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Powers of X number 2 is coming out for Marvel tomorrow by Jonathan Hickman. It's super dense relaunch of the X-Men. Yeah.
That's what I love when it's like a great comic, you're looking for something super dense.
I do. I love information.
Oh, yeah, just
that's
like,
what I love about
I want
information.
A lot of reading.
Honestly, like if comic books could not just be words, but just like words all jumbled together, so it was harder to read them.
Yeah, you would get into
what
that.
I want.
Yeah.
I want more
Justin
words.
Actually invites me over, and I usually crumple up his books.
Yeah, exactly.
Real
he makes
tight.
A stack of words, make them dense. looking forward to that. Also, a book that I don't know if it comes out tomorrow. Everything number 1.
That's September.
It's in September, but that's a great book too.
Yeah.
And we review it.
We're going to have both those books in our Stack podcast that comes out Wednesday at 9 a.m. Also, a note on that, if you regularly listen to our Stack podcast, that will continue to be in our Comic Book Club live feed, but we've actually set up a separate feed for the Stack as well that you can subscribe over there if you just don't want to listen to this stupid live show for whatever reason.
It'd be crazy if you were listening to this and were like, finally, I don't have to do this anymore. But that's your choice.
But we did get a review that somebody said, like, I hate their live show and I love the Stack.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Logan still hasn't answered why he doesn't like the live show. What are you afraid of, Logan?
Yeah, where are you at, Logan?
What am I looking for?
What are you looking for?
I'm disappointed no one said Glow. How dare nice. You?
Is a new issue coming out tomorrow?
I don't know.
I was also looking forward to Powers of 10. That's how it's pronounced,
it's
Justin.
Not accurate.
Okay. Powers of 10, number 2. I'm going to mention Event Leviathan, number 3 from DC Comics is also coming out. This is a mystery spanning the DC universe. So far, it's been a lot of fun. We'll have a review of that tomorrow as well. Kimmy, plug your stuff. What should people be checking out?
Go to my Instagram. Nice. Kimmy Katewood. I'm Miss Katewood. It'd be nasty. I think I plugged everything. Just watch Glow Season 3 and 1, 2, and 3 if you haven't watched it. And,
nice. Fantastic.
I have some great... I'm working on some directorial stuff, so just... keep up with my shit, and I'm psyched to be here, guys.
It's been so great to have you back.
We've been doing the show. I mean, you guys have been doing the show for so long.
Yes,
so long. We do it more frequently now. Yeah. It's too much.
Yeah, we saw each other on like Saturday morning this
week.
Yeah,
we did.
That's good.
No, you guys came over for bagels.
It was great.
I appreciate they even used the same theme song.
We love it.
Yeah.
There was a question in the Patreon Slack about one of the lyrics. I don't know if you remember the lyrics at all.
Yeah. Maybe. What is
that
the question?
That would be crazy if you did.
So we'll look it up while we have Stuart and Jamal plug their stuff. Stuart, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Okay, well, I mentioned Captain Ginger and Bronze Age Boogie. Also, From Ahoy, Second Coming, issue 2 will be out tomorrow, along with the second printing of the sold-out issue number 1. So those will both be out together.
It's a great book. I'm definitely getting the second issue.
It's good stuff.
First issue was so good.
I've got a Batman book, Batman Nightwalker, coming out in October. It's a young adult graphic novel based on a prose novel by Marie Lu with fantastic artwork by Christian Wildgoose. They'll be out early October. And I've also got an X-Men novel out now, X-Men The Dark Phoenix Saga, which came out a month or so ago.
Nice.
Oh, very cool.
You say Christian Wildgoose?
Christian Wildgoose.
Wow. Great name.
Yeah.
That's yeah. awesome.
He's coming over for New York Comic Con. He's British, but I'm hoping of course, we'll all do signing he's together. British.
So, Joel, plug yourself.
Okay, so the stuff that is out in stores right now. So we have the Volume 1 of The Wrong Earth, which is Ahoy Comics. That's in stores. I also did a 10-page story with Colin Bunn recently for Aftershock for their Shock anthology. That's also in stores. I'm currently working on the third issue of White, which is the sequel to Black with Kwanzaa Satpajo and Tim Smith, and that will be out sometime next year. I'm doing the covers for Dragonfly Man, which is coming out from Ahoy Comics in November. The first issue comes out in November, so I'm doing the covers for those, and then next year.
And that's
year,
a prequel to The Wrong Earth.
Yes, and then I will be doing the second book of The Wrong Earth sometime next year. So
cool. Awesome. Very cool. Do we have the phrase? Ooh, thanks for bringing it up.
Great.
Awesome.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Okay, so they sit on crappy couches and they let their secrets leak. Occasionally they will let their special guests speak. So grab your, and the choice is vote.
Oh yeah,
people
inhaler.
Put up. Inhaler?
Inhaler, yeah.
It's inhaler.
Inhaler.
All right, yeah. There we go.
Grab your inhalers.
Right. Other options were women pillows, golden hammer, Denver omelet, and peekaboo holes. Some of those are inside.
No,
jokes.
That's back matter shit. It was an inhaler.
All right, there we go.
So yeah, you guys used to really sit on crappy, like these cardboard crappy. You really upgraded to these. Two of you upgraded to nice comfy chairs.
No, I'll tell you what. Last week, live on the show, we broke a couch here.
So. We broke the crappy couch. Wow. It's back there broken. Yeah.
What happened? Happened.
Somebody sat on it. It's a cheap couch.
I will say,
I'm not
always
doing good like PSA for comic book readers right now.
Exactly. Watch out for those couches; they're deadly. I will say, describing our show as letting our secrets leak has always been just super accurate to the way we speak in general.
It's a good theme song.
I mean, you have a special ops guy here today. You know.
A couple of quick things to plug before we go. If you like this show and want to support it, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We do have that Patreon Slack we mentioned, as well as a bunch of other fun bonuses. You can check out, we do a bunch of other podcasts as well, our currently running ones. After Krypton, our Krypton podcast is wrapping up for the
Thank
season.
God.
All right, stop it.
Wow.
Tomorrow, it's been a joy to do that one with Pete. And what else do we have? Preacher Men, our Preacher podcast is currently running. That's going to be wrapping up soon as well. Riverdale podcast, Riverdale After Dark, is coming back.
Wait, you guys have this many podcasts?
Oh, we just saw
the
podcast.
We see each other all the time.
Oh my God, you're sweating.
It's too much.
It's like how you're around for a long time and people have kids. Yeah. And keep having podcasts.
Oh, I'm starting a podcast.
Dang. You didn't even know about it.
I forgot. It's called The Mother of All Shows. It'll be on Erios.
Yeah.
It's all looking at motherhood through an anthropological point of view. I know.
Ooh, that's
super
cool.
Crossover.
How about Sod? Cool. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. You can subscribe on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Kimmy for being on the show.
Yeah.
Stuart.
Yeah.
Jamal.
Yeah.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Thanks for coming out.
Turn it up. Turn it up.